Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
It is, yeah.
Oh, there you are. Right, that's the mic I'm actually coming in on.
Yeah, that's nice. With. That's much less tinny.
Hello, darling. Do I sound more like a radio voice now?
Oh, yes, you do. You're coming in beautifully.
Oh, I can't compete on you on that. You have a very nice, resonant, deep voice, and I sound like a... What was it once? A show that I was in, the director said, Aidan's voice sounds like a laser that comes out and fires to the back of the theatre and hits you in the head. And that was a description of my voice, which I suppose is a compliment in a way, each to their own. No, I don't have a radio voice. I have a high-pitched, whiny cartoon voice, I think. Anyway, hello.
you can stick to TV. Hello, everyone. Greetings to you. It's now the beginning of October. It's our October show. After the last show we did, we decided that, for a number of reasons, perhaps this show should be monthly. And, you know, no one in the month that we've been missing has actually said, where's the show? Which kind of, you know, maybe the show is not kind of, people are not waiting on their laurels. Waiting on their laurels?
The bated breath seems to have passed.
yeah, exactly. So... you know, we'll try and do this monthly, I think. I think, you know, we've been going for a number of years now, and our discussion offline was very much about, well, you know, let's not let the idea run dry too quickly. Let's slow it down a bit. So that's what we decided to do.
Indeed.
So we're gonna record. We're gonna try and do a podcast at the beginning of each month, and this is the first Tuesday of October. So that's what this is. It's show 232. Whateverworks.works is our website, and our YouTube channel also collects our podcatcher stuff now. So check that out. You'll find it by searching on Whatever Works in the podcast section of YouTube, which is cool. And also the MeWe group, of course. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. And the MeWe group, indeed, is where we scoop up lovely content to talk about. Anyway, before we get to that, how are you doing? What have you been doing in the last month?
In the last month? Well, briefly. Well, basically my life is, you know, I'm at home, I'm looking after my mum, I'm working periodically as I do. What I wanted to say particularly about today is I'm sat here in my pyjamas. It's 11 o'clock in the morning and I'm still in my gym jams. I had my flu jab on Saturday. So where are we now? Tuesday. So 2 or 3 days ago, I'm so lethargic. I've got that sort of, oh, I'd love a cup of tea, but do I really have to get out of this chair and walk into the kitchen? Oh, I can't be asked. I'm putting it down to the flu jab. I'm very apathetic today. So I'm hoping that doing the show with you, Ted, is going to cheer me up and get the drives and juices going again, because goodness, they need to.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, let's just have a somber moment where we say goodbye to Ian Judge Barton. I'm afraid that he passed away. He was a great supporter of Whatever Works. He was very generous to me personally, but also to the shows. He just seems to have been around for so long. I'm sure that he was part of the Kix community back in the day. And yeah, he had a stroke, sadly. He had been suffering with cancer for quite a long time. And I can remember chatting to him. He was in his hospital bed, bored shitless. And he'd phone me up and we were just natter, because he knew that I stayed up late into the evening.
Yes.
And he would just natter with me about what they were trying to find out what was wrong with him at certain points. And he was just such a lovely guy, though. I only met him once. And I have kind of already done this on what the PSE podcast, so I won't kind of dwell on it, but it's really sad. And it reminded me that, you know, we're all kind of getting older, and like our pop stars that are dying off as we die older, the ones that we were following in our youth, you know, the rest of us are dying off as well. Very, very sad.
It is. And it's interesting. It's a sort of example of the modern world in which we live. I never met Ian. I never spoke to Ian. As far as I can remember, I was never on a podcast that he appeared on as well. And yet, he's been a part of my life for the last half a decade, because the whole time that I've been doing this wonderful show called Whatever Works With You, Ted, Ian Barton, Judge Barton, has been an element of that and a part of that and part of that whole ethos on that world. And so, as you say, you know, when you a pop star or a TV star can die and you feel bad about it, even though you've never met them. With Ian, I came one step closer to meeting him, and it is a very sad thing indeed that somebody who's part of the community has passed. So, my sympathies to all concerned, definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. And to Anne, his surviving wife, if you're listening, which is probably highly unlikely, our thoughts are with you. Anyway, there you go. Right, so moving on. Amazon Prime Day today. I fancy a Ricoh camera, but I went and checked this morning, and of course there isn't one. It's one of these firms like Ruark, I've found, that they just never ever put anything on sale. Stupid people. They think they're so smart. Anyway, I don't know. I'll keep my eye open on Amazon Prime Day. But again, as we said many times before, it's only a bargain if you are going to buy it anyway.
Do you know, it's really funny. Just think about this. When we started the show all those years ago, we would say, Amazon Prime Day is coming, get ready. And don't forget, it's Amazon Prime Day soon. And, it's Amazon Prime Day next week. And then we'd make a big deal of it. And who bought what? Now, you've just casually tossed it into conversation. It's Amazon Prime Day today. I didn't even know it was Amazon Prime Day today. It's lost its polish, hasn't it? It really has. It's just become, it's like the MFI sale. After a while, you just think, it's just eternal. Amazon has cheap prices, we know that, and if you want to buy an electric toothbrush, perhaps today is a slightly better day to buy than yesterday was, but I'm afraid I've kind of lost the ability to get excited about Prime Day. Sorry, everybody.
No worries. Only a bargain if you were going to buy it anyway.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what else is a bargain. I went to the recycling centre last week. We have a fabulous new recycling centre locally. I'm really impressed. It's very well laid out, very easy to find the various areas to throw away the different things you want to get rid of out of the back of your car. Nicely arranged parking to be able to do that. Very, very friendly, nice, helpful people, which you often don't get in these kind of places. And they have a shop. They actually have a recycling shop. So stuff that people bring to the dump that turns out to be too good to be thrown away gets moved into the recycling centre shop. The money that's made, I actually don't know, but I'm assuming it goes to charity. I don't mind. Somebody makes a few pence out of it. You can find some really fun stuff in there. It's like going around a very cheap charity shop. And I bought a pond net for 50p. I bought a little net, like a kid's fishing net that I can use in the pond for removing duckweed and bits and pieces of detritus. I don't want to be in there, etc. I paid 50p and I paid cash. And I said to my mum, my goodness, I haven't done this for about 10 years. We actually sort of both rummaged through all pockets and wallets and car boots and everything until we could find a 50p piece. Actually, it was a pound. I think I got 50p change. And I bought a pond net for 50p in cash. And I felt very proud of myself because I hadn't done that for a lot of years. So that was fun.
Excellent. Good for you. There's certainly not a shop at my local tip here, but I think there was one in the Chichester one back in the day. Mm-hmm. I think they sold stuff on. I'm not sure if it was, organised as well as that one sounds. It's organised.
But it also works very well when you live with a hoarder and I say to my mum, shall we throw this away? No, we can't possibly throw it away. It's much too nice to throw away. So then, of course, there's the middle ground. I say, all right, well, we'll get it out of this house, but we'll give it to the shop and they can sell it on to somebody else who doesn't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was stuff that ends up in a drawer.
Exactly.
Never mind.
Let it end up in someone else's drawers. Oh, misses.
You know, well, it's better than just everyone buying new stuff all the time and filling up landfill. So absolutely good for them.
Exactly.
Recycling centres, we approve. Here, we got a new listener this week.
A whole new listener. Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got eight now. Joe Hickey, who has never... He's my new PSC co-host on the podcast. He's never before listened to Whatever Works. I told him off about that. But he's tuned in and joined the group, and I think he's enjoying it. He said that the show sounds like lots of fun. So welcome, Joe. Hello to you.
Hello, Joe. Yes, it is a lot of fun. It's also somewhat pointless and a waste of space, but it's a lot of fun anyway. Shall we move on to the feedback?
Let's do that.
Matt Jones feeds back on, do you remember my whinge about Jazz FM and how you never get to actually hear any jazz? All you hear is adverts.
Oh, yeah.
Matt says, on the Jazz FM Room 101 thing, it seems that this is now the norm with all commercial independent stations. Like Aidan, I find it infuriating on short journeys where you can complete a journey without hearing a scrap of the promised genre of music. Hear, hear. And if your journey is around news or travel report time, it can be even worse. Also factor in the tiny playlists that these stations run on, and it really rubs salt in the wound. After 20 minutes of news, travel, station promos, with adverts in between each one, then when they do finally get round to playing some music, it's the same song they were playing the last time you listened. I've given up. I've taken off my favourites on my radio, and I don't bother with Jazz FM anymore because it's just, nothing but ads. Ad FM. Ads FM, they should call it.
I never listen to the radio anymore, which is a shame because I've got loads of nice radios around me because of this very thing, really. I can't be bothered with... And I don't want to listen to the news. It's just too depressing. Every hour there's a stupid news summary. And so I just don't bother listening. I've got my YouTube premium or whatever it's called, and I've got playlists. And if I want to listen to stuff, I just listen to what I want to listen to, not what someone else wants me to listen to.
Oh, well, I have to differ there, Ted. I don't think a day goes by when I don't have a good dose of Radio 4.
Yeah, fair enough. And I used to be the same. I used to be glued to Radio 4. Every morning I would sit and listen to it. But you get to a point, I think, in life where you kind of think, Chris Clayton is with me on this. Me and Chris Clayton, we both decided to ditch listening to the news and current affairs and all that because we both discovered over a period of time that we were none the worse off for not knowing what was going on. We see if something serious is going on, we see the headlines,
yes.
But we don't want to know who the mayor is screwing or
yes.
whether somebody in Barrowin Furnace bus station has stabbed someone.
Yes.
You know,
but there's a great deal more to Radio 4 than just news bulletins. That's all I'm saying. Listen between the hours.
Yes. Fair enough. Right, okay, on with something more interesting, which is, not that Matt Jones's item is not interesting, but I bought an extension lead because I needed to get organised with my cables and leads, which I'm no doubt you'll know all about going everywhere. Now, I found one called Same River Tower Extension Lead. It puts out 3,250 watts. It's got a 10-foot long cable. It's got 8 3.3-pin plug outlets, 4 USB ports, surge protection, 4 independent switches, so you can switch each of the 4 sides of the cube on and off. It's got a 17-watt USB-C output, which is not huge, but it's kind of it's good enough to be charging for most situations.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
and it's only 20 quid.
Goodness.
It's part of the Prime Day deal today. And honestly, you know, all joking aside, I think it's an absolute bargain. It's got eight. 3-pin plugs, and it stands upright as well. Now, the only thing against it is that it doesn't, the 3-pin plugs don't smartly rotate to allow for, you know, what we said before, stupid plugs.
Yes,
but
yes.
It works really well, and I think for that, with a 10-foot lead for 20 quid, is an absolute bargain. Highly recommended, works beautifully.
You're a fan of these tower versions, aren't you? Yes, I've never had one, but it does look very nice. I'm afraid you should have bought it today because it's 1p cheaper. It's £19.99 today, and you pay £20 for it, Ted, so you lost a penny there. You're talking in old money. How long is your cable in metres? Because this is the 3-metre cable is 20 quid here, actually. If the 5-metre cable version is... Oh, not available. Okay.
No, the 3 metres is 10 foot.
Right, okay. I wouldn't know such.
Oh, look, they've got it in black now. When I ordered it, they didn't have it in black. Mind you, the black one's 25 quid. But the white one's all right. The tower thingy sits nicely behind a computer monitor. That you can just get rid of it away round behind the monitor and so you don't see it. And it just does its job. It's great. Like it.
Excellent thing. Ed Howells brings... I'm so sorry, Ed. I always mispronounce your name. Again, please, Ted.
Ed House.
Ed House brings us, sorry Ed, no less than four items from the realm of DIY. So let's go through these. He brings us firstly the Makita DHP453 Combi Drill, which he says was bought from a set from Screwfix 8 years ago and is still going. I've supplemented the kit, he says, with a battery-shaped box of bits and a rapid charger to keep this as a kit, which I can now throw in the car for any job required at a minute's notice.
There's another Makita item as well, the DTM52 Multi-2. This has been so successful, says Ed, that and the anti-vibration tech can really make the difference when you need to use it all day to remove stubborn tiles.
I'm fascinated by multi-tools. I've never owned one and I don't quite understand it. I think it's just a thing that vibrates a lot that you can put different heads on, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I thought you had one. I thought you had
I dabble in DIY, as you know, but I've never had a multi-tool. No.
Oh, right. Okay.
Never. The next one from Ed is the Milwaukee 90 Impact Driver Adapter, which he says is amazing and should be in anyone's toolkit for odd jobs, as it lets you get into all sorts of tiny, awkward corners. And just having a quick look at the pictures here, it's a very clever screwdriver by the look of it, I think. Mm. Very clever, sort of screwdriver at angles.
Yes.
But I'd be interested to know more about this, because looking at it, I can't quite work out what it is. If it's a screwdriver, how does it work? Does it have a battery in it that makes it go round and round when you press a button? More information, please, Ed, on the Milwaukee...
Well, there is more information, and I will link in the show notes to Ed's post in the Whatever Works MeWe group, because he goes into great detail, and he's got lots of photographs there. So for anyone that wants a deeper dive on this. But anyway, finally, he says he also got the Black & Decker 18-volt re-sip saw. Re-kip, I don't know what that means, for £70 with a free dust buster back.
Hey!
And blow me down, it was worth it just for the Hoover. The saw is great, but the dustbuster will pick up loads of sawdust, and even when it's choked, it still works fine. Choked, or when it's full up?
Oh, you know me, I love a good dustbuster. Whee! Right, oh, I can't turn anything off now. Don't believe me, says Ed. This is a head and shoulders above the Makita one I had years ago, which was crap where the reusable bag was concerned. Worse on disposable bags, and it burnt itself out after a year. Yeah, I can only say here, I'm a big dustbuster fan, as we all know.
I want to stand up for redundancy as a concept, says Ed.
Uh-huh.
I have more drill-like things than I need, but as a result, I can use the best one for the job. Arguably, though, everything I do in DIY can be done with the DHP486, which that's the combi drill. Okay. So
that was the first one, I think.
Oh, was it? Okay. So it's all very confusing. If you want, as I say, if you want clarity on this, go and check out his full post with photographs.
He's clearly an expert, and he finishes by saying, being able to use a little Wix screwdriver with the hex shank drill bits lets me be more precise for pilot holes, and the SDS drill was much more effective for running bigger holes in the timber when doing the shower with a bigger grip and more weight to prevent it snagging. Are you keeping up at the back? And with the exception of the screwdriver, these are likely robust enough that as long as the batteries still work, I can pass on starter kits of tools to my boys when they start needing to do stuff in their own houses. Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, if you're a son of Ed, you're not going to need to buy yourself a tool for the rest of your life, are you?
it's a kind of bucket of ideas, isn't
it?
And you could go mad on this stuff and just have as he appears to have done, a garage full of stuff. I really thought you had a garage full of this kind of stuff too. Didn't some firm give you some to review or something?
Yes, I mean, I did a job for Ryobi, I think, tools, and I got three or four from them for free for reviewing them. And then they caught me, and I'm now a Ryobi person because I've got the battery pack that fits between tools. But I don't come close to Ed's knowledge or ability. I mean, I just dabble now and again, and I have a few odd tools in the garage underneath things that I have to go in and hunt for. But I mean, Ed obviously is an expert and knows what he's talking about, unlike this idiot.
Thanks
here.
A lot, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you for your contribution. You have to be quiet now and hope my dad's not listening. I got a Rotring 600 mechanical pencil, right, because my one broke.
Yeah.
And I asked the guru, Chris Kelly, which one I should get, and he recommended this one, and it's really nice. It's really classy. It's got a really fine tip, and it's a lovely blue colour. You can get different colours. All metal body, a knurl grip, a hex barrel, and it was only 18 quid. It might be more now, but it was on special offer, I think. I really, really like it. Now, hopefully my dad's not going to listen to this. It's highly unlikely. But I've decided to get a set for him for Christmas. So the other thing that Chris recommended was the Rotring 600 ballpoint pen in the same blue colour. That was 24 quid. But it's really, really nice. And I think that my dad, he loves old-fashioned things. He writes with a pen and he writes with a pencil and everything is written down and not digitally saved. And he'll just love this. So this will form his main present at Christmas, which is under 50 quid. And he'll really, really appreciate the quality stuff going on here. So, yep. There you go. Recommended the Rotring 600 mechanical pencil, which used to be called propelling pencil, and a ballpoint pen, and in a range of colours. They are lovely.
They are lovely. I'm looking at it. It's a very attractive pencil, and vive la analogue. I'm with your father on that one. Not only that, I notice that on this lovely blue pencil, it's got HB engraved in it, which is, of course, Hazel Bell. So I'm wondering if I should get another one as well.
That thing, I asked him about that thing at the top because I didn't understand why it had HB on it. And apparently, it's
the lead.
It's mechanic. Sorry,
I was just trying to jump in. I was trying to be clever. Is it not the lead, as in HB pencil?
Yeah, it is. It is the softness of the lead. But the point is that that thing at the top is a reminder ring, and you turn it around manually based on what lead you put into the pencil. So it's not. I was expecting it to be some sort of automatic thing, but it's not. Viva la mechanical Viva again.
Yeah, so if I did get one for my mum, I'd have to tell her you're only allowed to use HB lead in this.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, really nice.
Excellent. And Mr. Salmon, you may now continue to listen. If you've turned away to avoid the football results, you can tune back in now. I bought something this week which I found great fun and very useful. It's the Tessa 05432 insulating film for Windows. Windows as in Windows, not as in the computer. Windows as in panes of glass in your rooms. This stuff was wonderful. I had a chat with my new best friend Gem and I, and was talking about what were these artificial, cheap, plastic, triple glazing ideas actually any good, or should I not waste my money? And the basic consensus was no, they are well reviewed, and if you get a decent one and you put it up properly, it will help. So I decided to have some fun. So I bought this thing, and what it is, you get a bloody great big large sheet of plastics, you know, thin, bit like cling film, really. In this case, 4 metres by 1.5 metres. And you get a 25-metre roll of very good quality 3M double-sided tape. And you put the tape all the way around all four edges of your window. You cut the piece of tape, cut the plastic to about 5 centimetres spare all round. And then you offer it up to the window. Get it all nicely stuck on the window as tight as you can by pulling it. And at this point, I was thinking, this is going to be rubbish. Because once I got the plastic on the first window, you know, it's not completely taut and tight and see-through. And it just looks like a nasty piece of cling film pressed up against your window. But here comes the magic bit. You get a hairdryer. You turn on the hairdryer, you hold the hairdryer about 10 centimetres away from the plastic, and you slowly play the hairdryer all over the entire area of the plastic. And like magic, it just tightens up and pulls on all four sides and ends up being a nice, taut, drumskin-like piece of plastic over your window. And there you are, the job's done. And blow me, you know, again, this is anecdotal and it may be psychological, excuse me. But I really do feel that in the windows that I've done, which are all three windows in my mother's bedroom and the main window in my studio, I do somehow have a sense that that area of the room doesn't feel so cold when you go over and stand next to it. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it may, you know, it may come to bear fruit in the electricity saves over the winter. So at the moment, I can only speak highly of it. It may be useless. It may entirely be in my imagination and it might just be stupid. But I think it works well. It does block the view slightly. You can look at the window and go, that window looks very slightly fuzzier than it did before. You don't get the absolute crisp HD view that you would do through a freshly cleaned window, no. But for the sake of, you know, the months of winter when you want to keep the warmth in and the cold out, I think it's a price worth paying, as is £12.49 for the kit. There it is. I recommend it.
£10.82 now. Prime day deal.
You see, I should have waited.
Yeah. So do you take it off in the summer, or does it stop the heat as well? Or,
well, I mean, the thing is, I've put it over windows that open, so I'll certainly take it off in my mother's bedroom's case, for instance, because she can't open her windows now till spring.
Oh, right.
I suppose it's user choice. My intention has always been, especially given how cheap it is, that I will take it off in the spring and possibly buy another kit and do it again next year. That said, the one on the huge window in my studio looks fine, and I might very well be inclined not to bother taking that off and just to leave it all year round.
Depends if it's going to make it too hot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't suppose it's that efficient. But yes, I would imagine in the summer it's more likely to keep the heat in and possibly... Yeah, I mean, you know how I scream about how it's 32 degrees in here when I'm trying to record a podcast with you in the summer. So,
oh, I do. Yeah, oh, I do.
I might not only take the plastic down, but smash the window as well.
Yeah. Now, we've got plans afoot for me to probably give up living in this static home in the next 18 months or so.
Oh, that's news. And, my goodness.
One of the things that I need to do over at Dad's house when I go over there is to have a workstation. So we've identified an area in the garage which will work, but it hasn't got a desk or a table. So I went on the hunt for a table, a big table, a nice big table that I can put my computer on, a sturdy one. And we ended up back with Staffordshire outbuildings, furniture, whatever it's called.
Oh, yes, you've talked about this before, yes.
Exactly, the same one where we got the garden furniture from before. And I thought, well, yeah, okay, it's got slats down it, but I could put a cover on it, and I think that would work. And it's nice and big, and this particular 6-foot wooden table is a reasonable price as well. I think it was 160 quid or something. Mm-hmm. But we do know it's really, really solid. And because it will be in the garage, we don't have to bother about weathering it or anything. Mm-hmm. or painting it with stuff. And I think that it's really good. I previously awarded this Staffordshire, whatever it's called, a gold star.
You did, I remember.
And I think, yeah, and it's just really solidly made, well-priced. It's a family firm who you know, deliver quickly. I think it'll do the job nicely. And that Staffordshire... what's it called? Let me have a look at it. I'll look it up. Staffordshire... No, I can't remember. I can't find the name of the firm now. But anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes. But I recommend highly all of their wooden stuff. It's all handmade as well. It's made to order. Really cool.
Staffordshire Outbuildings Limited.
Well done. Oh, it's 148 quid, not 160. Oh, actually, I think it was 160 with the delivery, yeah. So, but anyway, I think it's a bargain.
I think it looks lovely, Ted, but please forgive me. I may have zoned out at the beginning and missed you saying, but what was the connection between this table and your possibly moving out of your mobile home?
Because I need a workstation. Do try and pay attention. And if you zone out whenever I'm talking, we don't stand much chance at all, really, do we?
Says the man who, I tell you what, dear listeners, I can be talking away, expounding on some wonderful thing and waxing lyrical about something I've bought and want to tell the world about. And I can see in our show notes that Mr. Salmon is scribbling and typing and shifting things around. And I'm thinking to myself, he's not listening to a word I'm saying. He's busy in the show notes. Okay, I can give as good as I get. Right, let's move on, though. Oh, we haven't had a jingle. Do you realise we are about half an hour into the show and we haven't had a jingle? We better put that right straight away.
Blimey. I wonder who bought it. This week's focuses in on zero in bed bug and dust mite killer. Someone's bought this, £6.80 for a pot, 300 mils. And apparently, I mean, I've never heard of this, but apparently, instead of, presumably, instead of washing your bedding as often, you spray this stuff on your mattress and it gets rid of bugs and, prevents allergies, it says, and gets rid of... It would be really interesting to hear from whoever's bought this to see what it does and how it does it and if it's effective and what have you. But, I mean, people talk all the time about the fact that people's mattresses are, you know, that they're less hygienic than your toilet generally, and they should need attention to bed bugs and all of that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Would you try this?
I think this is indeed, in addition to normal bed washing. I had a friend once who really got on a high horse about this because she travelled a lot, and she said, "Dude, you know that there are this number of bed bugs, and every hotel you stay in is probably rife with bed bugs." And bed bugs was a huge problem for her, and every bed she wanted to deal with. So yeah, I mean, it could well be that we're not educated enough to understand how unhygienic our beds are. I've never personally been bothered with bed bugs or had any concern about it, and I've certainly never tried anything like this, but I wouldn't not use it. If somebody gifted me this thing, I'd certainly be prepared to give it a try and think, well, I'm, you know, it's a bit like Schrodinger's bed bugs. I may not know they're there, but they could still be bad for me, so it might be nice to get rid of them if they are there.
I never thought of the hotel thing, but yeah, if you were kind of a bit dubious about a two-star hotel mattress before you get on the bed, you could spray it. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe something to travel with, yes.
Prime Day again, it's reduced to £5. So thank you to whoever bought that. There's also someone that's bought, and I'm guessing this is Ed House again, the Makita Orbital Sander,
which was
£67. Ooh. Yeah, it must be, given all the above stuff. But thank you, Ed, if it was you. £67 that was. And unusually, I got £3.35 for that one, which is a higher percentage than normal. But anyway, I get a percentage from anything that anyone buys, as long as they use my link, which is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK, and I get to know what's been bought, and I get a few pennies for towards that, but I don't know who's bought what, so which is why I never know in this section who it is that has done it, and we guess at Ed, for example. Carry on.
I was just wondering if that sentence was ever going to come to an end. But you do have fun, don't you, trying to work out who it was. Let's face it. Yes. Not only do you get a few pennies for the pot, but you also have the enjoyment of thinking, good grief, you know, a pink umbrella stand. Who bought that? Steve Litchfield. Whatever.
I'm still using my Nintendo 3DS XL, and apparently...
You big child.
And apparently, they are becoming worth a fortune. I think the longer you hang on to stuff, the more it gets valuable, like kind of record players and LPs and stuff that come back. And if you hang on to stuff long enough and look after the battery, I think it'll work really well. I've got the Surface Duo 2 here, the Microsoft phone, and apparently the value of that is going up and up because nobody can buy a new one, and everyone's wanting good quality secondhand stuff. Anyway, this was my little gaming machine, which I brought to Whatever Works 31 in April 17. It was released in 2012. The battery is still going strong 13 years later. I've got half a dozen physical carts that the only thing I'm really interested in playing on the machine, and it's not used a huge amount, just now and again when I'm bored. And I think that it's a shame that it doesn't run on AA batteries, of course, but even so, it still seems to be holding up, and I'm still using it now and again when I'm bored. And the games are just great. The Mario games are just great. Anyway, we won't get too techie on it. So that's my still using.
Fabulous for you, Ted. I'm afraid I can't comment because, as you know, I pride myself in that I've practically never played a computer game on either a computer or a console. But good for you, sir. I will take you to task, though, on old things becoming valuable. I've still got in the garage a Macintosh portable that I used when I lived in Vienna in the 90s. And apparently it's still worth about 50p and a donut. So there you go.
I hereby nominate, given the aforementioned, that Cheapest Chips is now retitled Judge Barton's Cheapest Chips, because the reason being that and the joke of the word judge was that when we crept over the £5 limit that we had before, he used to tell us off, say, "No, that's over £5."
Yes.
And then we appealed to him if we could raise it to £10, because you couldn't get anything under a fiver anymore. And so it feels like this was his section of the show, and so we're going to rename it to Judge Barton's Cheapest Chips.
I think that's fabulous. I remember there were other instances when, for instance, you decided to bring something that was actually £700, but because you got 40 of them, they worked out at being just under a 10. And we used to say, right, call Judge Barton, let's get a ruling and find out about this. Yeah, excellent idea, and a lovely in memoriam for Ian. So, yes, definite.
Indeed. I've got a bit of a haul of things going on here, so let me rattle through them before you jump in. 200 cotton buds, £1.27. My dad needed some from Amazon. I couldn't believe they were so cheap. They're cheaper than Tesco. 30 microfiber lens cloth going for £7.99. The kind of microfiber, the very fine ones that you get if you buy a pair of glasses and it's in the box, those cloths, and £7.99 for 30 of those. I was really impressed with that. I also couldn't find my fingerless gloves. I still can't find them. I don't know where they are, but as the days get colder, when I get up in the morning, I put my fingerless gloves on, and because I couldn't find them, I had to go and buy another pair. You won't like this, but you had to buy two pairs. Having said that, they were £3.75 for two pairs, so you can't really argue with that. And they're perfect little gloves, the same as the old ones, and they work really well. Keep your fingers warm, but allow you to type at the same time. And lastly, and I nominate this as something that you might well have bought, is the oblong bath sponge for £1.30. And the reason I nominate you is because you're the only person left in the world who still has a bath and doesn't have a shower. Was it you?
Oh, guilty as charged, my lad. Oh, dear. Oh, yes, it was. And I was actually getting ready to say, yes, but I did buy two for £2.60, and then realised that that's simply twice £1.30, so there was no advantage in that whatsoever. Yeah, I got a couple for my mother, because they are indeed cheap as chips. And yes, I replaced a couple of manky old sponges of my mum's. One of which is not for the bath, it's for her bedroom. But yes, guilty as charged. You see, that's what I mean. You like, exactly, I rest my case, my lad. You like to find out, to work out, or to guess who might have bought what.
Very funny. Very funny indeed.
Ted's top tips. Ahmed Bieber's offers a wonderful Ted's Top Tip this week, this month, which is the following. If you have bananas in the house, and who doesn't have bananas in the house, try covering the neck bit with cling film. This, says Ahmed, prevents the release of the gas which speeds up the ripening process. Yeah. Bananas won't ripen as quickly and will last longer. Mike, fiendish, I think, is the word you used to use, Ted. Mm. This is mostly useful, says Ahmed, in hot and humid climates. Of course, Ahmed himself comes from such a climate, as it prevents them from darkening quickly and turning into mush. This is brilliant, because every now and again, I'm in Tesco and I think, bananas, they're healthy, I'll get some bananas. And I buy them and I go home and I eat one and go, yum, yum, yum. And then I forget about it. And a week later, I've just got these black, soft stick things that look like turds on the working surface in the kitchen. I'm going to try it, Ahmed. The next time I buy bananas, I shall have some fun with little bits of cling film wrapping up the top of the bananas, putting them to bed. Thank you. I'm going to give that one a try.
I also read somewhere that if you get a bit of kitchen towel and put wet it and put that round the neck bit of the bananas and put it in the fridge. That does something to yes. extend the life as well.
And I've also heard another one about there's another fruit. If you put, I can't remember what it, if it's any fruit or what's a particular fruit that you put next to the banana, which counteracts the gas. So, I mean, there's probably various things, some of which may be old wives' tales, but some of them may be genuine. Let's find out whether Ahmed Beebers is in fact an old wife.
I want one of those.
Finger your knob?
I beg your pardon?
I'd love to use that as a show title, but I don't think I'd get away with that. I might do. No, I mustn't. Anyway, I saw going through this week something that looks quite fascinating, which is a doorknob that is made by TCL. It costs 79 quid. It's called the K1. But on the doorknob, it's got a fingerprint scanner like you'd have on the front of your phone or whatever. And it's AI-powered, of course it is. And it recognises your fingerprint in just 0.3 seconds. The implication for this is obvious, is that you put your finger on it and it opens the door. And if you don't have the fingerprint word, if you don't have the words to, yeah. But no, what I'm trying to say is that if for any reason that doesn't work, which you would hope it would, you can also put a key in the lock or you can put a code in. It's got a little pad right. where you yes, put yes. numbers in. So there's like triple ways of getting into this thing. Now, for 79 quid for every door in your house is a bit steep. Yeah. But it's just an interesting idea, and I thought, yeah.
Then again, you wouldn't want to lock every door in your house, would you? You'd only need it on certain peripheral doors that need locking. I've got a question. If this is AI controlled, presumably it's Wi-Fi and connects to the web, because as I understand it, AI actually exists in incredibly expensive, huge water-cooled tanks in America somewhere. So presumably, if this is genuinely AI controlled, it must be connected to the web. Am I right in that?
No, I think it's connected to an app if you want it to be. So on your phone, you can install an app and then you can get it to set it to unlock at certain times.
Oh,
and all
okay.
That sort
and
of
then
thing.
Your phone is connected to AI. So it's kind of second generation AI. Yeah, all right. I'll let them get away
but if
with
you
that.
Follow, yeah. But if you follow the link, it looks really nifty. And, it, you know, where I would imagine seeing this would be on an outside patio door or something like that.
Yes.
As you say, not every door in the house, but nifty idea, nicely looking made unit by TCL. TCL are a good firm. I do like their stuff.
I think this could be very interesting for someone like my mother, an elderly person who she has a lot of trouble sometimes. I mean, only very occasionally does she have to come back to the house on her own and find it unlocked, because normally I'm with her or I'm in the house. But once in a while, she has to come home and let herself in with her key. And she does sometimes struggle with getting the key to work. Something like this could be very useful for someone like my mother. If, again, this is an interesting question, Chris Kelly. If a person is elderly and arthritic, and do they still have good readable fingerprints? Would they still be able to get their finger onto the door and have their fingerprint properly read to open it? If the answer to that question is yes, then it's even something one could consider in my mother's case. Very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. My mum and dad's fingerprints gave up. And I think Steve Litchfield said the same. His are knackered now.
Right.
So that is a point, yeah. And it would need testing, of course.
Yes. Okay, in that case, I don't want one. And talking of Chris Kelly, he brings us the Ducati deal. Chris says here, buy a cycling helmet, a bicycle, bike, motorbike helmet, for £48,000 and get a free motorcycle.
Hey!
Or maybe it's the other way around, he says. Yeah, he's talking about a deal here that Ducati have. On some fantastic-looking bike. Sorry, I know nothing about bikes. £48,000 for the bike, and you get a free helmet. And the helmet is worth 800 quid. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, a back of the shelf, or you can have this one helmet. This is obviously a decent helmet that's worth having. On the other hand, if you've got 48 grand to buy the bike, I suppose another 800 for a helmet wouldn't kill you anyway. But There you go.
It's interesting. It's interesting how they've marketed it, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Buy a helmet and we'll give you a bike.
Yes. I mean, do you remember, I found very amusing that business when Sunday shopping was just starting to come in. The furniture shop stores were getting away with opening on Sunday hours by saying, if you want to pay £250 for this banana, we will throw in a free couch. And that's how they managed to sell. Because you could only sell fruit and veg on a Sunday. So they would sell you an apple for 300 quid and a free fridge to go with it.
Excellent.
Whatever.
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 Whatever. Worked.
Whatever worked. What's this month?
Yes. This was the show 84, the next one we were both on. And, spookily enough, it was in June 2019, and Chris Kelly was our special guest that day. So we got a few things to just highlight there. I'll start with the G-Tech SW02 Power Sweeper by Jen Tobb. Haven't seen Jen's name for a while. I wonder if she's still listening. And that looks like a nice manual sweeper. G-Tech stuff is really good. I've got the vacuum cleaner here, and it's really nifty. But that's a power sweeper, which we spoke about on that show.
I'm just looking at the picture because I misunderstood. I thought a manual sweeper, that's a broom. But no, it's not that manual. I mean, it still has some technology in it.
I think so, yeah. G-Tech stuff is really nice, though.
Yes.
There was also the Red Burr coffee subscription, which I think, again, was Chris Kelly, as he was on the show. I'm sure it was him that brought... I do wonder if he's still using that subscription model. Didn't you use that at one point as well?
I did. I used it for a while until my beloved Harrison Hall coffee house closed down and told me that they get their coffee from Square Mile, and then I jumped ship from Red Burr and went to Square Mile instead.
Right.
But yes,
yeah.
I did indeed use Red Burr myself for a while, and lovely coffee it is too.
Very good indeed. And the last one I had before we hand over to you was the potato mash. I can't remember who brought that to the show, but someone did. And I've forgotten all about it. It's lovely looking mashed potato in a packet, and it's not that expensive. I've actually ordered some. It should be being delivered today. There's all sorts of different flavours. There's some gluten-free and some not. And, you know, it's a bit like smashed potato, but apparently, according to this person that brought this to the show, it was Nigel Parrish who brought this to the show. He was recommending it. I do remember now. And I've jumped in and bought some. So on the next show, I'll send you one or two and you can test it too.
For mash, get smash. Yes, please do. I mean, I remember, I used to...
Then
God,
they
I used
smash
to,
them all to bits.
Yeah, I used to eat bucket loads of that stuff when I was a kid. I'd be very curious to see if that horrible artificial crap has been bettered by the perfect mash buttery from, what are they called? Idahon. Idaho.
Yeah, Idahoan. Idahoan.
Idahoan once, but I got rid of it.
Yeah, I'd be very interested. That means it comes from Idaho.
Probably, but do send me a couple. I'd be grateful, and then we can do a taste like we did with the coffee. We can do a taste test live on air. How about that?
A grand tasting on the next show.
We'll do it. We'll do it. Yes. I've just got one, actually. I picked out one. And again, quite nicely, this is from Ian Barton himself. He brought us the bifocal reading safety glasses, which I was very taken with and bought a pair and am still using. These are safety goggles, you know, hard plastic safety goggles, so that when you're working on anything where you want to protect your eyes from bits and pieces flying out, then you put these things on. But the wonderful thing about these is, in the same way that bifocal glasses have a line towards the bottom in the bottom third and a reading prescription area, there is a reading prescription in these safety goggles, and you can choose the what's it called, the dioptra that you want, from 1 to 3.5, so the same as you do when you're buying off the shelf reading glasses. And I found them fantastic, because if you're doing any sort of DIY work, I mean, I put them on when I use a saw. I've got a circular saw that I sometimes use, a portable one, and it's fantastic because I can actually look down and see what I'm sawing, and I can see where my fingers are. So they remain on my hand when I finish the job. So my great thanks to Ian Barton for saving my digits, and for a pair of glasses I'm still using. Good stuff.
It also looks as though they're kind of sunglasses.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing that I was hoping just to avoid saying. That the ones that we're linked to today are not quite the same, because, as you say, they do look as if they're sunglasses. They don't say sunglasses on them, but they've got a very distinct dark grey tincture to them, which I don't believe, I know, mine don't have. Mine are clear white, clear see-through.
Anyway, the other thing I was going to say was that it says cycling, and as we know, Ian was a really keen cyclist, so he was obviously also drawn to that.
Yes.
He could use them while he was doing his cycling as well. So anyway, there you go.
Sorry, but I've now got a question. Why would cyclists need to wear safety goggles?
They don't, but I guess he was doubling up because he wanted the safety goggles for whatever else he was doing safely. But he thought, well, why not just use them for cycling as well?
Oh,
Because they wrap around the left and the right of the face.
Gotcha. I think where is he cycling that he has to wear safety goggles?
Anyway, that was whatever worked 84.
Ridiculous letterboxes. Now, I've encountered this now and again and bemoaned it, and it happened twice last week, and I really got to the point of thinking, I'm going to put this on Whatever Works. This is going in room 101. I don't know if you know this, because I presume you may not have a lot of occasion to go to people's houses and push things through doors, but, you know, my mother occasionally asks me, can you put this card or this note or this piece, whatever it is, through my friend's door here, there and wherever. And so I do have some experience of going up to houses on the estate and having to put things through the letterbox, and I feel very, very sorry for the postman. A lot of letterboxes these days have, you know, as 95% of letterboxes do, you lift up the hinge part at the front and you pop your letter in, but then they have, on the other side of the door, some sort of barrier. I'm not sure. It's like broom hairs. It's like the hairs from a broom coming in from the top and the bottom. Call them strands, fibres, hairs, whatever they are. And they are there, I presume, to keep the draft out and just as some sort of additional form of protection. But my God, some of them are so strong that when you push the letter, all that happens is the letter just scrumples up as you push it. And you end up having to put your hand in to get this gap open and then feed the letter underneath your hand and then retrieve your hand. And the whole thing takes a long time. And by the time you've done it, your pristine, you know, the birthday card or the little brochure or the book or whatever it was you wanted to push through the door has got all scrunkled and horrible, just trying to get it through the bloody letterbox. So, room 101. I don't know if you have any experience of such letterboxes, Ted?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, definitely. And then before you know it, you've got your fingers through the letterbox and a dog's bitten your fingers off.
Well, there's that too, yes. I just feel very sorry for postmen who have to deal with these things, you know, multiple times every day of their working lives. Very, very annoying.
Yeah. Very, very annoying indeed. Right, room 101. Steve Litchfield is next for the annual car insurance farce.
Oh, yes.
And sure enough, we do tend to do this every year. It's that time of year, says Steve. Car insurance. Time to save £180 and effectively earn that with half an hour on the phone. The AA showed that my renewal was £458, a 33% increase year on year. I phoned up and they instantly reduced it to £354, which is, you know, telling, but that it's still way too high, he said. I went to compare the market and found Churchill offering the same £278. Job done. In a year's time, I bet Churchill will be trying to raise the policy to £400. I'll end up switching back to the AA, and then they'll offer it under £300. What a time-wasting, paper-wasting dance and farce, says Steve. For all of us, every year, it's a dance and a farce. I agree.
And I agree too. And in fact, I heard something on Radio 4 the other day. They were saying that, in fact, a lot of people are complaining about this now, and they're trying to raise some sort of regulation that won't make it so easy for companies to do this. Yeah, I do the same thing, Steve. All I can say, Steve, is at least you're not having to spend over £600 a year as I do with my insurance. Try being an actor and insuring a car. That's all I can say.
And meanwhile, I pay £2.50 for my moped insurance.
Shut your face.
lovely. Oh, it's so good to be back. Right. Ahmed Bibars wants to give a gold star to... And I agree with him here, I have to say. Maybe it's because I'm just getting old and fat. Stretchable trousers, or as they're known in America, says Ahmed, stretchy pants, Mac. I've stopped wearing jeans or regular trousers, says Ahmed. Well, they're just so tight when you sit down or you're driving the car, especially in the pocket area where it's difficult to grab stuff as it's all squashed inside. Not to mention your nuts being strangulated. That's why I've started wearing these stretchy trousers with pocket zippers. All your pocket stuff doesn't fall out when you're sitting down, and it's easily accessible without you feeling like you're delivering a baby. What I like about them is their versatility. You can wear them when you're out and about, indoors, even for sleeping, as they're so comfy. But they really come into their own when you're having a huge bucket of KFC, watching your belly expand. And they've got some nice give to them, of course. Has to be one of the best inventions ever. So that's why Ahmed wants to give them a gold star. I do have to agree. I spend much of my life in what they call lounge trousers, which are, they're not stretchy as in elastic, but they're really loose and they're so easy to wear. And whenever I put proper trousers on now, if I'm going somewhere, I think, oh, yeah, this is really restrictive. But then, yeah, it's a sign of getting old and fat. And in my case, anyway.
Do you know what? I've never tried these. You're going to have to send me, please, a link to some that you would recommend. And I tell you for why. It's a diametric opposite of Ahmed and his KFC bucket. It's just that since my back issues, which I've talked about on the show, I'm now doing Pilates twice a week. And I have a 25-minute Pilates session, and I'm always having to change into my tracksuit bottoms to go to Pilates and then come home and put my jeans back on. It'd be rather nice if I could have some trousers that could just be my Pilates day trousers. How middle class is that? And just put those on for the day and do the Pilates in the same trousers that I was wearing for the day anyway, because they're stretchy enough. Hmm.
Indeed. Good idea.
Yes. Link, please, Mr. Salmon.
Or Mr. Bibars.
Well, yes, please. Whoever. Link from someone. Steve Litchfield would like to give a gold star to the National Trust for only raising their... Oh, here we go. He's back on his raising...
Money
again. For only raising their annual membership by the actual rate of inflation. And Yabu sucks, says Steve, to every other organisation that doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I concur. We just talked about how these companies ridiculously up the ante year on year on year. And if the National Trust doesn't, then good for them. Yes. Okay, here.
I do wonder if anyone between the age... I've said this before and I'll say it again. Anyone between the ages of 10 and 70 actually does this National Trust stuff. Well, except Steve, of course. Steve is not quite 70. It just sounds so dull and boring. As dull and boring as watching or listening to the BBC, regardless of your Radio 4 mantras.
Each to their own. Yeah. No more dull and boring than sitting in front of a console wasting a day playing games. It's each to their own. Well, I used to have a National Trust membership. Admittedly, it was to take my mother to things, and also I went with my friend
Exactly.
Kirk.
She was over 70.
Yeah, but... I wasn't, and I'm not, and would still... I don't know. I love nature. I mean, if I go on a holiday, get me away from towns and cities and get me out into nature, whereas someone else, perhaps like yourself, would say, God, bollocks to that, I want to go and have a drink somewhere. And that's absolutely fine. Each to their own.
Right, I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Before it descends into chaos, we'll say goodbye to everyone and say we'll be back in a month's time, unless you force our hand and make us record earlier than that. Whateverworks.works is our website, so head across there for links to all the stuff we've talked about today. AidanBell.com is where Aidan hangs out, and you can catch him there. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find all the links to what I do, all my podcasts, or the team's podcasts, and also the MeWe groups and all the rest of it, everything I do, reviews, blogs, the lot, tedsalmon.com. And we'll be back whenever we are back. Last word to you, as always, young Aidan.
Thank you, sir. Well, entirely unusually this week, I must have applied myself, having felt so lethargic at the beginning, because I'm now buzzing with energy, and so I've woken myself up. And I forgot to drink my tea. For the first time ever in the history of Whatever Works, I've barely touched my tea. And so, as I raise a glass at the end of the show, I think I'd like to raise it to Ian Barton.
Yeah. To Ian.